This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Conaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports program, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports podcast hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Big Nasty Alfred Conaway. No Marcus Vanderberg this week, though. He says he's covering the Stanley Cup, game one of the Stanley Cup final, but I think he's really attending Wednesday night church service with Donald Sterling.
That's got to be it. I mean, that's what I was doing earlier today, and he said that he was going to be around the L.A. area, so I like your theory better.
Yeah, they're having a fabulous time in church together.
Praise him on the Donald Sterling recovery tour.
Oh, yes. That has got to be the great, like, I know church is supposed to be a place with no judgment and no preconceived notions, but we all know that's not the case. And I'm like, if you're in church and Donald Sterling just comes up to you in the all-black church and sits next to you on your pew, like, what is your immediate reaction?
Well, I mean, maybe if it's a member of the NAACP, somebody who had awarded him the presidency or given him the award, I think they would, you know, feel right at home. And they would probably be on the same recovery tour. But if it's anybody else, they'd probably sit on the other side of the church or maybe even reconsider the religion.
And then Donald Sterling looks down and sees Mark Cuban, so we ain't talking about Cubes, man. Cubes is sometimes people just need to shut their mouths, be quiet.
You gotta love Cubes.
You do gotta love Cubes, but it's like sometimes, you know, like what's the old term, thou doth protest too much. He's like, well, you know, I'm not saying that I would vote for Sterling to keep the team, but let's just say if it came down to it, you know, you never know what could happen. It's like,
yeah, I mean, that whole thing, it's funny I say this, but it was made too black and white, and I'm not even talking about race relations. I understand what Mark Cuban was saying in that situation, and that, you know, that does set a very slippery slope to where people now, whatever they say, if it is to leak, no matter how, are in danger of losing the teams, and that's not a world Mark Cuban wants to live in, and I understand what he's saying. I mean, that doesn't make you a racist if you want to vote to have Sterling not necessarily keep his team, but at least vote against the notion that you can have your team taken away if something is to leak and it's to become public knowledge when that wasn't the original plan.
No, absolutely. If you voted for Donald Sterling, I mean, that's the greatest thing for the NBA is now they don't have to even worry about the vote. But, you know, if you were going to be one of those owners that voted to keep Sterling in the league, that doesn't make you a racist. But what's that old Jamie Foxx line? It's like, I'm not saying you a crackhead, but your actions are very crackish. So I'm not saying you're a racist, but your actions are very racial, shall we say.
I know, but okay, and all I'm saying about the matter is that it's not directly tied to – I don't think a vote for Donald Sterling is a vote for the man. It's a vote for the principle that, hey, when is it going to end? And, I mean, Mark Cuban has been very clear about his notions. He hasn't come out and said, Donald Sterling is a great man and he needs to be defended and what he thinks is valid. No. He's come out and just said, listen, we need to just kind of, you know, the media is on this smear campaign, which they really don't need to do that much to smear Donald Sterling, but they're on this campaign, this holier-than-thou campaign against Donald Sterling, when I'm sure everybody's got skeletons in their closets that would unfairly define them as one way or another. And I think just Mark Cuban is just being very cautious. He's being a rich guy, and that's how rich people think.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't think it's all principle. I think it's more financial, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you got to make that money.
Cubes is worried about his pocket. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like if something comes out or somebody says the wrong thing, Cubes is looking after his money. So, you know, he didn't get rich by being a fool.
Right.
So, yeah, we got lots to talk about this week. Of course, the NBA Finals. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But let's start with the Stanley Cup Finals, a.k.a. the Battle of the Podcast, the Kings of Sport, taking on Mr. Throwback Thursday as the L.A. Kings, Marcus and Alfred's hometown team, take on Jamie and Bill's squad of the New York Rangers. I am the impartial one in the middle. But, yeah, game one is going on as we speak, as we're recording right now. It's a tight game, as we all thought it would be. And just kind of off the bat, what was your impression? You know, we did the show the other night with the Kings coming back and beating the Blackhawks in overtime, and now they got a tough challenge with a very scrappy Ranger team and Henrik Lundqvist. What are your thoughts on the Stanley Cup in general, Big Nasty?
Well, I mean, I'm far be it me to be a hockey aficionado, but the Los Angeles Kings, and I'll admit their rise and relevance, have made me more of an interested party. And I've fallen in love with the Kings just like I do random women I meet at the bar and still have strong feelings for. So why can't I do that with hockey? And the Los Angeles Kings, what I've really enamored me about them is no team, I mean, I think in any sport, is better in big game situations with their backs against the wall. So put all those cliches together and the Kings are the best team in sports right now when it comes to being down 2-0 in a series, when it comes to being down 3-0 in a series like they were against the Sharks, when it comes down to being 2-0 in a game 7 early like they were against the Blackhawks, when it comes down to being 0-2 in, early in the Stanley Cup game, which is a huge pressure situation, they've just tied that up. So this Kings team, I don't even want to say scrappy, but because I think that's underselling them. They are just, when it comes to true grit and having ice water in their veins, this is a team that really, really does not panic. And that's what I love about them, and that's why I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, especially against the New York Rangers team that, you know, typical of a New York market sports team, doesn't really win that much as it used to being in this big spot. The Kings were just here, and they're just coming to reclaim what I think can be a dynasty.
Yeah, you talk about those game sevens. I mean, in round one, went to seven games against the Sharks. In round two, went to seven games against the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. And we all saw that great game on Sunday with the Blackhawks. And, you know, you could make the argument. There's always that discussion, Alfred, whether it's rest versus rust, because, you know, L.A. has been battle-tested and, you know, they've gone out there. But New York, on the other hand, after dispatching Montreal, they've had a little bit of time to sit and wait and watch and get right. Do you think that there's going to be a little bit of rust that they're going to have to get over? I don't think so. But, you know, that's been one of the topics of discussion today.
No, I don't think there's going to be rust at all. As you saw with this game, the New York Rangers came out blazing, and they were just attacking, trying to score, and it's worked. And I think the New York Rangers are going to be a very formidable opponent throughout this series. I don't think rust is going to be a question. I think talent is going to be the question, and the Kings, I think, are just much more talented, much more used to being in this position than the New York Rangers. I think the New York Rangers, while it may be a little bit patronizing to say they're happy to be here, I think they're in more of that position than the LA Kings, who have already set a standard of winning championships.
I think so, too. I think, you know, the goalies, as has come to be the case in the last few years or so, have been the real stars. Of course, you got Quick for the Kings and Lundqvist for the Rangers. But, you know, you could have the best goalie in the world, but when you've got a team as deep as the LA Kings, and I think, you know, just watching that Chicago series, that's what you saw, how many different lines they could come at you with. I think, you know, even the best goalie is going to, you know, show some cracks against a team that deep and that strong.
Exactly. And the fact that you talk about being deep and strong, if you you know, partner that with the fact that Jonathan Quick has been, he's been very good at times, but he's been very, very bad at times in the series, to where he's basically given up goal after goal after goal. And I know that some of his teammates are coming to bat for him, saying that it's, the puck's bouncing funny and this and the other. And there was a freakish goal scored earlier in this game where it was pretty much an own goal on Jonathan Quick, but he hasn't been his, you know, all-star caliber self throughout the playoffs. But when you have a team like the Kings, when you have scores, when you have guys like Williams, when you have Kopitar, and you have a team that knows how to make up for those lapses that Jonathan Quick seems to have, then I think they can be unstoppable.
Absolutely. So what that brings us to, Big Nasty, is three big questions about the Stanley Cup Finals. I guess we could call this, in honor of Brother Marcus, Ask a Hockey Negro Three Big Questions. So I will pose these questions to you. Question number one, who wins the series? Question number two, in how many games? And question number three, I'm going to save that for you. After you answer the first two questions, I'm going to spring question number three on you.
I'll take the Kings. I'll take them in seven because that seems to be their style, and I just have a feeling game seven will be a blowout in favor of the Kings. And so what's that third question?
Third question, ratings. What are the ratings going to be for this series? It's two big markets, but as we talked about Sunday, you know, maybe the Blackhawks would have been an even bigger TV draw than the LA Kings.
No, yeah, they would have been. And there is just a culture, I don't even want to call it a problem because it is being solved before our very eyes with the Kings doing well. But there is a culture dilemma when it comes to hockey in Los Angeles. So that's traditionally not going to be a huge number. I believe they got a 4 for game 7 against the Chicago Blackhawks, which is just not a very good number for primetime hockey. So, man, I don't – game 7 get overall? I know what it got market by market, but I don't know what it got overall because I would take that – and I don't want to say split it in half, but I would take 75% of what it got game 7 against Chicago. That's what I think the Stanley Cup's going to do.
Good question. Let's check on that right quick. Kings, Blackhawks.
In New York, there's, you know, New York and LA, it's like East Coast and West Coast versions of each other to where there's so much going on in each metropolis.
And again, this is on NBC Sportsnet, which has far less penetration than NBC proper. Absolutely. Game 7 drew a 3.17 overnight for NBC Sportsnet.
Okay.
And the thing is, I guess Chicago killed it. Like, Chicago had, you know, it was like 22.7 in Chicago. Yeah. And then in LA, you mentioned, it was like 4.0.
Right. So, and I think it can't see it doing too much better than that.
It was like a 3.1.
Yeah, I can't see it doing too much better than that. I could see it just because it's a Stanley Cup. I could see it achieving a number like that, but nothing too much better.
Yeah, in terms of me answering the big three questions, I'd assume Marcus is going with the Kings in probably 6 or 7. So that's two of the Kings going with the Kings. I like the Rangers. I give them all the props in the world for getting here. A lot of people didn't expect them to. I also give them props for beating Montreal, and no disrespect to our Canadian listeners, but as you've all heard on this show a time or two, I can be petty at times, and the fact that one of my former female friends' teams got eliminated, that brings me a little bit of joy. A little bit of shot of fraud, as they say. But I'm still going to pick the Los Angeles Kings because they are the Kings. We are the Kings. I'm going with the LA Kings, and it's just fitting for this season, for this team, for this playoff run in 7 games. And in terms of a rating, I'm gonna say they get a 4 nationally.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe pick. I would be surprised if they went below that, though.
Yeah, the only reason I'm going with that because I think I think this is the type of series that, you know, you've got the curiosity of the Stanley Cup, and it's also the type of series that I think will pick up viewers as it rolls along. And then again, you know, NBC Sports has I stumbled upon the hockey game the other night in a game 7 because I was like, is it on ESPN? No, is it on NBC? No. I wonder where it is. And I'm just flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden, when I get to, like, channel number 49 on my cable box, there it is.
It is a bit of a tough sell. I mean, that's something else people are going to have to just get to NBC Sports Net. But, I mean, it's kind of a gamble. Hopefully it pays off. But at least games 1 and 2 are going to be on NBC proper.
Yeah, and I think that'll help it out a lot because, you know, I know a lot of people that haven't watched NBC Sports Net since they canceled Michelle Beadle's show. Oh.
Yeah, because she was such a big draw. It's good to see her back on ESPN.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Congratulations, Beads. But yeah, that's going to do it for segment one. That's going to do it for the A block. Hockey is in full effect. And Bill and Jamie, Mr. Throwback Thursday crew, we will see you guys. I haven't had a chance to listen to their show this week yet, but We're going to come up with some type of wager. Maybe somebody has to end up doing something embarrassing on the other person's show.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to sing. Well, the Kings don't have like a national song, do they? Or, you know, whatever, the theme song. No, that's too basic. We got to just come up with something good. Like, you got to listen to a Tupac album and recite it word for word for word.
I think Jamie can do that anyway, though.
We could do Tupac versus Kanye West, LA versus Chicago.
Yes, yeah.
That's the thing.
If the Kings win, Jamie and Bill have to do a Kanye rap, like 808s and Heartbreaks, Kanye.
Yeah, that Kanye. And he's got to sing. He's got to use. We got to see if we can order one of those online. Get one of those voice modulators. Yes. The auto tune.
Oh yeah. This is already shaping up to be a good wager. So Jamie and Bill, if you don't want to sing, end up singing Kanye. Hit us up on the Facebook page or on the email, and we'll come up with something good. So that's the Stanley Cup Finals. A lot of intrigue left in the tank for both teams, but even more intriguing to me is the NBA Finals, a rematch of last year's Classic Series. And we're going to talk about it coming up next in segment two. So stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after this. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
You guys waited a year. Finals last year was a devastating loss. You came back. You had the best record in the league. What does it mean to you to get back to the finals and get another shot at Miami?
You know, it's unbelievable to regain that focus after exactly that devastating loss that we had last year. But we're back here, and we're excited about it. And we got four more to win. We'll do it this time.
They don't like us. They don't. I can sense it from Timmy's comments over the last couple of days. They wanted this. They wanted us. And we'd be ready for a challenge.
Now wrapping basketball, number one, first flow. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. And if you're hearing that music, Big Nasty, it can only mean one thing. The NBA Finals are here, and I can't wait for this, man.
Yeah, me neither. It's going to be part two, what I thought was the best NBA Finals series of my adult life, maybe even of my life, like categorizing things like that. But, I mean, watching Spurs Heat every game last year was incredible, and I'm very happy that we didn't get Indiana and San Antonio, because that could have been a train wreck. But instead, I think we got the best possible series we could have gotten.
I think so, too. You know, the NBA playoffs, especially now that I guess it's been 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years since they changed up the format, and, you know, all of the all of the rounds went seven games. And
yeah.
The opening round used to be five games. And then last year, or this year, I guess, they switched up the format to instead of 2-3-2 to 2-2-1-1-1.
Yes.
And I like that because it the best team is going to win in a format like that. And we saw, you know, the Thunder in the Western Conference, they pushed the Heat. They pushed the Spurs. And I got to give Serge Ibaka I don't know if he's your countryman, but your continentman.
We have an understanding. That's about the extent of our relationship.
It's black. Really black.
You don't ever understand it.
I was going to say, it's really black on really black violence. You know, and you got to give credit to Serge in the way that he was able to step up and, you know, gut through it and really gave inspiration to that team in those two games that the Thunder won back home in Oklahoma. But the Spurs, I said it, you know, I'm not going to be that guy, Alfred, that gets on this show and puffs out his chest and lets everybody know that he was right about a certain team. But I was right about a certain team.
Okay, but your chest isn't pumped. You're just saying you're right.
No, I'm just stating facts. You know, I had faith in the Spurs. You know, you could see it all year that, you know, they had a look in their eyes that, you know, the way the season ended last year for them, you know, just one game away from winning another NBA championship, that didn't sit too well with them. And Ginobili came back in better shape. Tim Duncan, consummate pro as always. Tony Parker stepped his game up. And, you know, they were able to get past a team that is younger and stronger and some would say more talented, but they're not smarter. And the key ingredient, they're not deeper. That Spurs bench has really stepped up and really grown.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head when you said they're not deeper. They're the antithesis of one another. With the Spurs, they've got 1-7 guys who can score easily at will. And then you can even argue 1-9 who are talented enough to maybe take over a scoring role if need be. And it's a very deep team. It's a very good team with four Hall of Famers if you throw in Popovich. And then you've got emerging stars like Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, who's an All-NBA second teamer who's going to be guarding LeBron, who's also an All-NBA second teamer. So, I mean, it's going to be matchups. And for all the people who, you know, immediately on Twitter, all I read was, you know, Durant and Westbrook can't ever win a title against this and the other. Well, we talk about having a deep team. And they are as bare gets. It's Durant and Westbrook. And if you look at the numbers, nobody really does anything else. Sepulosha couldn't step up and be a scorer. Their bench only scored 5 points in that game. So once they get the supporting cast that they need, you do not break up two top five NBA players. You just don't do that. You provide them with the support they need to win a championship. They've gotten close enough. And I just think that if they soldier on and continue to have players who can score just like they can, then maybe that'll take some stress off them, and especially Scott Brooks, who may not even be back next year.
Yeah, and it's – I think that they benefit – I mean, it's not all on Durant and Westbrook, but I do think they benefit from playing in a smaller market because we saw this with LeBron when he was in Cleveland. LeBron got hammered for not being able to deliver a championship, whereas I think Durant, he's not taking, you know, half the heat. No pun intended that LeBron took back in the day for not being able to get over the hump. You know, he's had better players on his team by far than LeBron ever saw in those Cleveland days. You talk not just with Westbrook, but you talk about Kendrick Perkins when Kendrick Perkins was actually a good player. You talk about Ibaka. You talk about James Harden before they let him go.
Yes.
You know, just the amount of players around him and he hadn't been able to deliver. But the media is kind of like, hey, he's a nice guy. We like you, KD.
That's what it is. He's a nice guy, and not just as a token to where he's quiet and this and the other. He's done nice guy things. He had the iconic MVP speech. Well, we're going to look at that. The NBA is making that out to be like their I Have a Dream speech, but we're going to look at that and say, like, wow, this is cinema. You know, he's legitimately crying. He's thanking every one of his teammates. Yeah, and he went, I think it was when the Oklahoma had tornadoes or there was a natural disaster, and he went out without telling the press or anything. He just went out and donated $1 million to charity. And I mean, he's a nice guy. And all this stuff, I think, has come back to be the anti-LeBron when it comes to criticism and Twitter, because there was a play late in that game where he slipped and fell without even being touched. And that was a turning point in that game. And as Bomani Jones tweeted, let that have been LeBron, because he would have gotten absolutely shilled for that. And it would have been known as a slip game. But, you know, nobody said anything. And yeah. Kevin Durant does get a pass.
Kevin Durant gets a pass. And Russell Westbrook is like, he's quickly turning into like the Dennis the Menace. of the NBA where it's like you either love him or you hate him.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know. Like Russ, I think Russ does do too much at times, but by the same token, when your number one superstar is a guy that can get complacent or passive at times like KD can, you need a guy that's going to be the irritant. You need a John Starks to your Patrick Ewing.
Absolutely. And it's a couple things. It's a number one guy with, I think, a number two personality. He's an A player with a type B personality. So Russell Westbrook emotionally is the leader of that team. And then you've got a coach in Scott Brooks, who I'm not going to say is a horrible coach. I think he's done a fine, admirable job. But he's not the type of coach, obviously, who's able to reel in Russell Westbrook when Russell needs to be reeled in. And that is obviously something that's going to have to happen if this team wants to grow, is Russell's going to have to become either more of a point guard where he's passing as well as scoring, or you can just move him to a shooting guard position and get a more traditional point guard, like a Rajon Rondo, somebody who's going to be able to distribute. But, I mean, there's a disconnect with coaching and the talent of Russell Westbrook and really honing that talent. And it's just something like that I think Phil Jackson, well, not that he's going anywhere anytime soon, but it's just I'm using him as a template, as an example of somebody who would be able to reach out to the stars and get them in harmony as opposed to having Westbrook run wild and Kevin Durant and have their talents on two opposite spectrums, which is still good enough to get deep in that Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got to get some more talent, some more role players. But, you know, you mentioned Scott Brooks, and I think he's a fine coach, but he's got to take that next step, much like Durant, much like Westbrook. He's got to take that next step because what he's doing right now is fine for, you know, a market like OKC, but this team is – steadily becoming one of the NBA's signature teams. You know, they're getting the games on TNT. They're getting the games on ESPN. They're, you know, up there in the big packages. So when you're getting that attention, you're getting that spotlight shown upon you, you have to deliver. And thus far, they have not been able to. But I think Scott Brooks is going to get at least one more year.
Yeah, I don't think now is the time to react like that. And a lot of teams are on the market for head coaches. So do you want to go into that rat race and try to get somebody and have competition? Or do you want to soldier on with a formula that maybe it hasn't worked in terms of getting you as far as you want to go? But it's a formula that can work with talent that is acquired if they're able to get more support on their bench. And that might be as much of a problem as their coach is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Scott Brooks is going to be secure for one more year. But another coach who maybe had a few minutes or hours or days riding on the Lemon Booty Express, as Bomani Jones would say, is Frank Vogel out there in Indianapolis. And after another premature exit from the postseason, Vogel and the Pacers, a lot of discussion, a lot of disgust around the national media being shown for the actions of your favorite player, Lance to make him dance. Lance Stephenson, a.k.a. the problem child. It's a weird thing because I think in one level, I think Lance is a clown and a buffoon, to use one of Ray Allen's terms. But on the other hand, he's really the only person on that roster that stepped up and showed heart in that Heat series.
Oh, yes, and beyond hard, beyond the intangibles, he's the scorer of that team. I mean, you got Paul George, but that is a team that could not compete with the Miami Heat because they did not have consistent scorers. And Lance Stephenson, when you look at the budget that the Indiana Pacers have, they're not going to go out and get these free agents. They're going to have to do that kind of thing with the trade, so they're going to have to be giving up a lot to get a lot. And if you have a Lance Stephenson who they could re-sign to a contract, yes, he comes with a lot of bad will, and he didn't do too good of a job. Positive name for himself in the Eastern Conference Finals, but he is the guy who can score on that team. And he and Paul George, if you want a deep Pacers team that can beat the Miami Heat, even an aging Heat team, you need to have more scorers. And Lance Stephenson, I think if you're the Pacers, is a guy you cannot let go.
I was going to say, let's not beat around the bush. Lance Stephenson has more baggage than a Samsonite factory. Let's keep it
absolutely
real. But, you know, he's the one of the few guys that stepped up for that team. And I think, remember when they made that big trade at the deadline and you and I discussed, you know, would the loss of Danny Granger, even though, you know, he's had injury problems over the years, would the loss of a locker room leader affect that team? And I think in some ways it really did.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could be a team chemistry thing. I know Lance Stephenson's name was thrown around in many circles as one of the reasons of their downfall because of issues that happen behind closed doors because of fights that happen at practice and whatnot. Say what you want to say about that. But, you know, chemistry is a very delicate thing. And people think that every year we see it in across a multitude of sports of a team getting so close and then the next year they just kind of implode. It's because they had that lightning in a bottle that just escaped them when a year passed. And they're just going to have to find a way to get on the same page talent-wise as well as having chemistry with your teammates. And that is something that can be solved with a year of playing together, just another year of tasting that bitter pill and suffering together.
Yeah, I just think this is a team that maybe is a year away, and I'm not even talking about the roster, even though they do need to get a deeper bench. I'm just talking about maturity, because you had players like Paul George, who has all the physical skills in the world, who shrunk in the moment. You've got Roy Hibbert, who can be, you know, one of the best centers in the league if he's got his mind right, and his mind for most of the second half of the season wasn't right. And you got Lance Stephenson, you know, who's in the locker room listening to Usher and R. Kelly. You're messing with the same girl. Same girl. I just did that because one of our listeners hit me up on Twitter and said that she likes it when I sing. So
nice little Easter egg. I like that.
You know, gotta do it. Well, we get the people what they want. But, you know, I think that the Pacers, to me, they are in a worse situation than the Thunder, because even though they play in a weaker conference, I think the Pacers have gotten, you know, some people say they may have underachieved. I think they've gotten the most that they could have out of that roster as it's currently constructed. Whereas I think the Thunder still have room to grow.
Absolutely. You know, you could even make the argument that the Pacers have room to grow. And with an executive like Larry Bird, I really wouldn't be too worried about their future, especially if they don't panic and blow the team up. So, I don't know. It's funny you bring up the Pacers and Thunder. We have to remember that the Thunder is in the Western Conference, and now you've got Steve Kerr coming to town in Golden State, which could get very interesting very quickly. So, I'm just going to put you on the spot real quick. What franchise would you rather be? Without putting too much stock in what just happened in the conference championships, would you rather soldier forward with the Indiana Pacers problems or the Oklahoma City Thunder problems?
I'd rather take the Thunder's problem just for the fact that, you know, they may have some disharmony, but there's less dysfunction than Indiana in that locker room. And you also have the MVP of the league in Kevin Durant.
Yes. I mean, yes, you do have the MVP of the league. You're playing in a tougher conference. And, I mean, you've got a lot of work to do in terms of getting that entire team. I mean, I don't want to go as far as to say the Indiana Pacers are loaded, but they may be one or two players, and the Heat getting older is going to help them. But they're pretty close to being a team that can get over the hump and go to the championship. I think the Thunder is dangerously close to going the other way, especially if you remember Westbrook's injury concerns. He's had, what, 3 surgeries this year? And, you know, that's the type of injury that's only going to get worse as the years go on.
Yeah, to me, the most important player or the most important person in that organization right now is the GM, because they've really got to do some work in terms of getting some better role players and strengthening that bench, because, you know, letting James Harden go, that was a mistake in my opinion. Kendrick Perkins is getting old. Sefolosha is probably going to be gone before next season. And then, you know, you're left with a big 2.5, I guess, with Westbrook.
Yeah.
Durant and Ibaka, and that's just not enough, because, you know, you're talking about a Western Conference where the Warriors are coming, where the billion-dollar Clippers are coming, where the Lakers will be better in a few years, where the Spurs, you know, they can reload at any time. So you've got a conference where it's going to be much tougher to maintain your spot, let alone get better.
Yeah, and the scary thing about the Spurs is, yes, they've got 3 players on their way out, but, A, those players refuse to exit the prime, and when they do, they've already got guys like Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, young guys who have been through the struggle, been to championships, have that playoff experience, and can lead the next guard of the Spurs under the tutelage of Greg Popovich, the best coach in the league. So the Spurs aren't going anywhere.
Absolutely. But again, that being said, I would still rather be the Thunder and take my chances with KD and Westbrook as opposed to Lance and Paul George.
I can see that.
You know, I'd rather, what's the old saying, dance with the devil you know rather than the one you don't. You know what,
yeah.
KD and Russ are going to give you, whereas Lance and Paul, they're very mercurial players. You know, they could give you amazing triple-doubles, or they could just kind of disappear. Like a whisper, yes, like a like, whisper in somebody's ear.
I was just about to go ahead.
Gone
with the wind.
Gone with the wind. Just blown away. I was blown away by Lance's performance in that series.
I thought he kind of blew.
Oh. But somebody that did not blow, of course, is LeBron James and the reigning and defending NBA champion Miami Heat, and they are facing a familiar adversary in the finals this year, the aforementioned San Antonio Spurs, with Timmy D has found the fountain of youth, and apparently he's found the fountain of controversy, quote-unquote, because the media seems to be building up this thing with Tim Duncan's guarantee, which, I mean, it wasn't like a Joe Namath guarantee, but second of all, what did you want the man to say? I don't think we're going to win.
Yeah, the guarantees of this day and age, the media will latch on to any type of, you know, passive aggressive promise. By the way, LA Kings just scored. LA Kings win game one in overtime, 3-2. What a sensational performance. But back to the other championship. Yeah, anytime somebody says, yeah, no, we've got a good chance to win, that's all it takes to be a guarantee these days, because the media is, we are in the subplot culture, subplot society, to where everything becomes a subplot, especially with Twitter paying attention to every little aspect of the game. So it's not LeBron James trending on Twitter anymore. It's his headband and so on and so forth. So this is just another one of those calm before the storm things. It's going to become a story, and I don't think anybody's going to remember it once the ball tips.
Yeah, and that is the most important thing. And I think even the teams today, they started to walk it back a little bit, because it's like you have this moment, you realize we beefing over something Tim Duncan said, like Tim, yeah, like the Mr. Rogers of the NBA, like he's not somebody that's going to give you that inflammatory bulletin board material. And so I think both teams, there's a respect there, which I don't think you had in the Heat Pacers series. I think that Miami knows that they very well could lose to San Antonio. I think the Heat have the best player, maybe the best two players on the court with LeBron and D-Wade, but the Spurs are deeper. The Spurs bench, like you mentioned, you know, you talk about Bellinelli and Bonner and Green and, you know, cats like that. Just there's so many different ways that they can beat you. And I think the biggest key for San Antonio is the health of Tony P, because if he's healthy, as we saw last year, when Tony Parker had good games, the Spurs won. When he had bad games, the Heat won. So if Tony Parker is healthy, it would not surprise me at all if the Spurs won the series.
Yes, and what makes the Spurs so scary for the Heat is this is the first team the Heat will play that is a well-oiled machine offensively. They steamrolled through Charlotte, although Charlotte did give them problems that aren't going to show up in a 4-0 sweep, but they did give them some problems. And then they went through the, you know, Brooklyn Nets, who had depended on an aging Paul Pierce to be their guide offensively. And then the Pacers that we've just talked about had their own issues offensively, but now they've got a team who people keep saying deep, deep, deep. But what that really means is that they've got is we're going to line up on the wing. They are going to be able to make that extra pass, and they're going to be able to really confuse that Heat defense that is nowhere near as good as it was last year. So that's what's going to be the key for the Miami Heat, and that's why I think it's going to take a really large effort from LeBron James as well as Dwayne Wade, who has overachieved in these playoffs, in order for the Heat to keep their heads above the water and have a chance. But it is a very even matchup, because the Heat are very similar to the Spurs, where they have excelled at shooting the three, just as the Spurs have. And I think for both teams, it's really extended their lifespan in the NBA.
Yeah, it may all come down to home court advantage. And the difference between last year and this year is the Spurs are the team with the home court advantage. And if it goes to seven, that game seven will be in San Antonio. And we'll see if Tim Duncan, a.k.a. Old Man Riverwalk, will be ready and waiting for those boys.
Yeah, and that could be the difference. Is game seven, they're so evenly matched, with the Spurs on paper being, I think, a better team. But really, having the best player in the series being LeBron James, I think that makes it a wash. So I will say that they are evenly matched. And if it comes down to that game seven, it's in San Antonio, and it's very hard to pick against, you know, a team, a pseudo-dynasty like the Spurs at home with a guy like Popovich, with Duncan. They know they've made their big mistakes last year that they were supposed to win in Miami. So this one could literally go either way, which is why I'm so excited to see the game. And not so much to pick the series, because I think it could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Yeah, let's just think about that, though. Like, we rarely see Popovich make mistakes. And, you know, he had maybe one lapse in judgment during the finals last year, and that may have been the difference.
Yes, and I mean, that's definitely the difference.
It's just like one, you know what I mean? One lapse, and we could have been talking about a completely different series. And I think that Pop has shown this year, you know, a little bit more fire in terms of his coaching style. And, you know, just going back to that last game against OKC, running that entire second half without Tony Parker and just having the confidence to go out there. And, you know, Parker could have gone out, as we learned later, but Pop was like, nah, you know, sit on down. If we're going to get this, and if not, we'll have you ready for game seven. And it's just like, yeah. Pop is, he's very shrewd, but he's also very gutsy. I don't think he gets a lot of credit for that. And that matchup between Coach Pop and Coach Spoelstra, that matchup could end up, you know, defining the game as much as the matchup between, you know, a LeBron James and, you know, a Kawhi Leonard.
Right. And I'm gutsy. I would consider it supreme confidence that Pop has in his second unit. Is if you ever saw the games with the Oklahoma City Thunder where they were getting blown out, there was a particular game, I believe it was game three. Yes. Serge's first game back where, Oklahoma City pretty much pulled away, but anytime he'd go to his second unit exclusively, they would pull that lead from 20, and it would get shrunk down to 12 to 10, and then he'd put his starters back in there, and then it would get away from them a little bit. But Pop knows he's got a very strong second unit. So a lot of people are making a big deal out of Tony Parker. Of course he's a difference maker, and he's one of the best players in the game, but if I'm the Spurs, I'm not too worried about him being limited. You know, he'll be there, but he may be limited. I know the second unit can pick them up, so I don't think it's as much of an issue with a team like the Spurs.
I agree. You know, we'll go ahead and give some predictions. I predicted many weeks ago that the Spurs and the Heat would meet in the finals, and I chose the Spurs in six at the time, I believe. I think I'm going to adjust that a little bit and say that San Antonio wins in seven, and I think that this may be the end of Tim Duncan and Manu, but Tony Parker's going to stick around. And, you know, this just, to me, this just cements the legacy. I don't think there's anything that could take away from Duncan's legacy at this point. But, you know, our good buddy Chris in L.A., him and I always have this argument back and forth. Who was the greater player of their generation, Duncan or Kobe? And I tend to lean towards Tim, although I respect Kobe. And I think he leans towards Kobe, although he respects Tim. But, you know, if Duncan wins another chip, I think that conversation becomes a lot more interesting.
It definitely does. And, man, it's – I just can't pick against LeBron James. I know he has to – he knows he has to be dialed in 100%. And I just think he's going to elevate his game and just take over this series. I know he's got some support, but there are times where LeBron has looked at that team and he just says, this has to be my game. I think he's going to look at this team and say, this has to be my series. And he's going to just have one of the all-time finals that we've ever seen. And if that happens, which it very well could with this, I mean, the Spurs defense, while it's still solid, it's not, you know, it's not a brick wall. I think LeBron can go off and I'm going to go with the Heat in six because I just can't imagine them winning a game seven in San Antonio.
Yeah. And then I had to adjust mine as well because I was like, I think the Spurs could win in six, but I don't think the Heat are going to fall at home. If they're going to fall, they're going to fall in that game seven. So, you know, like we said, this series is too close to call. If you got anybody out there that doesn't play for the Spurs or the Heat and they tell you 100% that the series is going to go one way or the other, I think they're either crazy or they just are professional arguers. Because yes, this series is very close, too close to call. But it'll be good. You got a lot of good players and a big shot Bosh in the building. He's just like, LeBron, you need me to make a three this time? that's terrible.
He was close. But he is one of the better big shot makers in the NBA, especially now that he's changed his game and developed a three-point shooting game.
And an unselfish dude. Like, I don't think Bosh gets enough credit for, you know, he could have easily taken the money and been, you know, the man in Toronto for five or six more seasons. And he's like, nah, I'm about these championships right here.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been a 25-10 guy in Toronto for the next 10 years, and it would have mattered. But, I mean, the fact that there is a question as to whether or not this guy should be in the Hall of Fame, I think even if the Heat don't get it done this year, I mean, you look back on this era, how are the Miami Heat getting anywhere close to a dynasty without Chris Bosh? I mean, you've seen how Dwayne Wade eroded from year to year. Without Chris Bosh being that, you know, other superstar, the Miami Heat are screwed.
That is a wonderful segue that I don't think you even knew you were making Big Nasty.
Oh, of course I knew I was making it. Oh. You know, I have the production sheet right in front of me.
Hashtag Nasty Knows. So, earlier today, you know, we posted a topic on the Kings of Sport Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. And for those of you that are on the internet regularly, there's been this thing going around, the $15 game with you have $15 to make an NBA all-time starting lineup, and there's various players at each position for various dollar amounts, ranging from $5 all the way down to $1. And we put it out there today, what would you be your starting five for $15? And we got some pretty good feedback today. Alfred, if you can pull up the responses from Facebook, and I'll just kind of go through real quick and let the listeners out there know who is in each category for what dollar amount. Point guard, you got Magic Johnson, of course, at $5. Oscar Robertson, the big O, for $4. Isaiah Thomas for $3. John Stockton for $2. And Walt Frazier for $1. Shooting guard, you got MJ, of course. Michael Jordan at $5. Kobe at $4. The logo, Jerry West at $3. Clyde the Glide Drexler at $2. And Dwayne Wade, for $1. Shooting forward, you got LeBron James at $5, Larry Bird at $4. A lot of people having some discussions about that in terms of who is really the best small forward of all time. It's a pick 'em situation, in my opinion. You got the Dr. Julius Erving at $3, KD, Kevin Durant at $2, and Scottie Pippen at $1. Watch yourself, he might hit you with a shoe. Power forward, this is where the controversy might be, Big Nasty. $5. Not Charles Barkley, not Tim Duncan. Carl the Mailman Malone is your premier power forward at $5. Charles Barkley coming in at $4. The aforementioned Tim Duncan at $3. Dirk Nowitzki at $2. And KG, Kevin Garnett, at $1. And finally,
KG for $1. That sounds like a bit of a steal. But
that's a value pick. We'll get into that in just a second. At center, you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for $5. Bill Russell for $4. Wilt Chamberlain for $3, and the ladies know that's a good value. Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq Diesel for $2, and Akeem Olajuwon for $1, which again, Akeem for $1, that's very good value. So we've got some answers from the listeners on the Facebook page, Big Nasty. Go ahead and break it down. What have the listeners out there in the Kings of Sport Nation, what teams are they putting together for $15?
Okay. Great feedback, too, and this is a very, very, very entertaining subject. So shout-out to Nate for putting this together. Terry Hall goes with Zeke, they talk his point for $3, Kobe for $4, Barkley for $4, Durant for $2, and Shaq for $2. Who's going to play defense on that team? I mean, I guess Kobe and Zeke he feels very good about that team.
So he's got Kobe.
He's got Isaiah Thomas, O'Brien, Charles Barkley, Kevin Durant, and Shaq.
Yeah. I was going to say, outside of the middle, there's no defense being played. Yeah.
Yeah, Shaq can clog up the lanes, but I mean, you can shoot from the perimeter all day against a team like that. Dennis and Frazier, Black and Asian. Yeah, I was talking on Twitter the other day. Dennison's a good guy. The nickname team, he's got the all nickname team. I like that. Magic, Mamba, Durantula, Big Fundamental, and The Dream.
That's all a nice superstars team.
They have nicknames, but that's pretty mad. Let's kind of break this down. Magic, so. Casey's got Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. I don't have a problem with this team. I think this team would be a lot like the Showtime Lakers, but
so he's got Magic, Kobe. Who was his small forward?
Durantula.
Okay, KD, and then he had Duncan. Oh, and then he had Hakeem. That's a strong team.
That's a very strong.
I think that's the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Scott McCullough will take Oscar Michael, Larry Legend, Kevin Garnett, and Hakeem. It looks like he's going. It's like a Walmart team, like a bargain bin team. I know he can't spread the wealth here. It's a very frugal team.
The fun of the game is like you have to decide whether you're going to load up on those big guys or whether you're going to stretch your money out and budget it.
Right. Yeah. No. I like the idea he's got there. Jay Egbuna. Jay Liberian?
Is that one of your countrymen?
I think it's Nigerian, but he likes Okay, well, he argues Barkley costs more than Duncan? Interesting. Also surprised LeBron costs more than Bird. And as you were talking about, is, you know, between LeBron, between Bird, between Kevin Durant, that's an argument in and of itself. But he likes Isaiah Thomas, Kobe Bryant, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, Hakeem Olajuwon. Very long team.
Of course he picked Hakeem, though.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. He's probably wondering why Serge Ibaka was not here.
When is Mutombo?
Jamie Robinson, friend of the show. I will use my New York bias and start off with Walt, Clyde, Frazier for $1, Mike for $5, Magic for $3, Sir Charles for $4, and Shaq Fu for $2 to round it out. Everybody wants Michael. Has anybody not picked? Oh, yeah, a couple not picked Michael.
Michael and Kobe, that's kind of the – nobody else has really been, like, D-Wade, Jerry West, and Clyde Drexler haven't been getting a lot of love.
Right. But Travis Cummings likes Jordan, LeBron James, Tim Duncan, Clyde Frazier, and Elijah Wong. Not bad. David McClair, Isaiah Thomas, Jordan – he has Pippen on here. Pippen's not – were you not reading? Okay, so he's got Thomas, Jordan, Pippen, Duncan, and Shaq. With a buck to spare, lockdown D, dominating post game, and two cold-blooded killers. So he's really against the grain. Not only did he not spend all his money, but he took somebody who wasn't on the list.
Yeah, what are you doing, brother? You can't take it with you when you go. You got to spend the money to make the playoffs, man.
The Kings of Sport podcast. I believe this was you. Yeah, I think what we're learning here is that Karl Malone is not as high you pick. Grant.
Nobody picked Karl Malone. I don't think. We got a couple more answers, but so far nobody's picked the mailman for $5.
Might be listed a little high, especially at the position. I think people have got it in their mind what the position has become and have kind of decided from there. But Chris Costanzo, point guard, John Stockton. Oh, I like that. Shooting guard, Kobe. Shooting forward, Bird. Point forward, Duncan. Center, Shaq. I really think he was thinking that team through because that is the type of team I think screams chemistry.
Yeah.
From personality, from like what you need at certain positions. He's not just, you know, falling for the stars, that this is a good team. I like that, Chris. Oh, Marcus Vandenberg, who makes it on the show, says point guard Stockton, shooting guard Michael, shooting forward, point forward Duncan, and center Hakeem. And finally, Travers comes back and says he loves how he's the only person that took LeBron, which is a shocker. Travers took LeBron, which tells you everything you need to know about how LeBron is still being received on the internet. But very good choices. I liked some people obviously went for the stars. Other people went for the bargain. And as we saw with Mr. Costanzo, some people went for, I think, what they believed would be a good team.
Yeah. So then who just out of the listeners right now, I think I got to give the edge to Dennis's team. I really like Dennis's team.
Dennis had a good team, but I'm going to stick with Chris Costanzo.
All right, now let's hear your team, Big Nancy. Who you got for $15?
Okay, now I took more of a philosophical approach with this. I really thought about you on a locker room, what would my locker room be composed of, as well as talent, because these are all great players. So for $2, point guard, I went John Stockton. Then I went Michael Jordan. Then I went LeBron James. Then I went to point forward, and I saw Kevin Garnett sitting there at $1. I will take that any game. And I'll get to that real quick. So I took Kevin Garnett, and then at center, I took Shaquille O'Neal because I had $2 left, and that's a great value pick at $2. So, you know, my team is Stockton, Michael, LeBron, Kevin Garnett, Shaquille O'Neal. And the Kevin Garnett pick, I think, resonates with me because he's going to be the guy who, when you get a locker, I don't even think LeBron and Michael would have an ego clash. I think they play very well together. I always said that LeBron is closer, as far as skill set, to Scottie Pippen than he was to Michael, just because big body, guy who can shoot, guy who can score, play defense, and he would facilitate for Michael, who would be the star of this team. And I just think Kevin Garnett would be the guy with that championship medal, that competitiveness, the fake tough guy, if you will, who would be able to mix it up on the court and protect his stars. And then John Stockton would be that veteran, quiet leader who doesn't have an ego at all, who I wouldn't have to worry about. And I just think that he would be the glue that brings his team together as a facilitator as well, because you've got two big scorers in Michael and LeBron, and the rest of that team can't facilitate. And you got Shaq, who I don't think he would have too much of a problem because that means he wouldn't have to work as hard. And as much as I love Shaq, he became one of the biggest beta centers in the league's history, but still didn't live up to his potential in terms of hard work night in and night out. And so I would have him there just to you know, be the big center, play defense, and just go off when he's needed to.
Okay, so again, you had a Stockton, MJ.
Stockton, MJ, LeBron, Kevin Garnett, and Shaq.
That's a solid team. I like the KG pick. That's a good value pick. Now let's take a look at this team right here, and I'm just gonna say off the bat, Michael Jordan, greatest of all time, does not make the Godfather's All Stars for $15.
Oh, against the grain.
Let's start at the center position. I'm gonna spend my $2 and pick up the big diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. Roll over to that power forward spot, and I'm going to put down $3 to get the greatest power forward of all time. Sorry, Karl Malone. We're talking about old man Riverwalk, the big fundamental, Tim Duncan. So I already got a nice front court. Shaq and Tim Duncan. Let's go to that small forward position. A lot of great shooters on this team. A lot of great defensive players. A lot of explosive players. But I want a guy that can kind of do it all. A guy that can stretch the floor. A guy that can distribute when necessary. And also a guy with a personality on his team full of stars that can kind of blend in to the foundation, much like Tim Duncan. He can be a leader, but he can also, you know, he's not going to rock the boat. So give me that $2 and let me pick up Kevin Durant.
Wow.
Now, the reason why I have guys like KD and guys like Tim Duncan is because my shooting guard can be a little mercurial at times, and I'm putting down $4 for that man, Kobe Bean Bryant.
Okay.
You know, to me, Jordan and Kobe, very similar players. I think Jordan's the better player, obviously the greatest player of all time. But for this exercise, I need somebody that can get out there and score. You know, defensively, I got Duncan that can play D. I got Big Shaq that can clog up the lane. And the other thing was, my point guard really dictated who my shooting guard was. Because in this exercise, if I went with Michael Jordan, the only point guard I could afford would be Isaiah Thomas. And that's not going to be a cohesive backcourt, if you know anything about Jordan and Zeke.
Oh, you want to talk about cohesiveness? You got Kobe and Shaq on the same team.
Yeah, but I think Kobe and Shaq, you know, they can get along. They were teammates. Jordan and Isaiah, They oil and water from the beginning.
Okay, so knowing what you know now about how Kobe and Shaq ended, you would still take that chance?
Yeah, because I've got enough guys that can buff. I got Timmy who can smooth things out. KD that can smooth things out. You know, it's not like I'm bringing Smush Parker on the team.
Yeah, those Laker teams had a lot of maturity. They had Phil. They had you know, Derek Fisher. They had guys who really should have ironed that out, and they just didn't like each other.
And I think, yeah, Shaq and Kobe, to me, they've softened their stance in recent years, whereas Mike and Isaiah, you still know there's a lot of hate. That's old man hate. That ain't going nowhere. So I'm going with Kobe Bryant as my two guard, and that also gives me maybe the most versatile and most valuable in terms of dollar amount point guard on the list, and that's the big O, Oscar Robertson.
Okay.
That's a guy that can score, he can distribute, he can get you rebounds. I like the makeup because Oscar's a guy that, you know, he can score with the ball, but he can also set the rest of the players up on the team. And you got guys like Kobe can go inside or outside, KD can get his shot from outside, Tim Duncan, a versatile post player, and Big Shaq. So I got Oscar Robertson, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Tim Duncan, and Shaquille O'Neal. That's my Godfather squad for $15.
I think that would be a very fun team to watch. It would sell a lot of tickets. And I was kind of questioning your fast break offense with when you started with Shaq and Tim Duncan. You kind of took a traditional role. But with Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, and Oscar Robertson, I think that would be an insane fast break team, especially with Kevin Durant, how he can cover about, you know, the entire court with three stripes. And, you know, Kobe, of course, he's a guy who's got in his day had legs and he could cover the court. And then Oscar Robertson is your not so traditional point guard who is very quick and a former Milwaukee Buck. And I have no problem with that. So I really do like this team. I think it would be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, because to me, Big O was kind of like that Magic Johnson / Jason Kidd big point guard before that was in vogue. And he also, like you said, he had the quicks. He could get out there on the break. And I like Tim, Tim Duncan, he's not the most fleet of foot, but he can. He knows how to put himself in position to get the ball on the break.
Right.
And Big Shaq, you know, I'm thinking more like Blue Chips, Orlando Magic Shaq, and less late day Laker Shaq. Like I'm talking about Shaq when he was out there and he was quick and he was slim and he was Steel. I want Steel and Kazam Shaq on my team.
Nah, that would be legit. You talk about selling tickets. I don't know if you'd sell movie tickets, but you'd sell basketball tickets.
And I
misspoke. Scottie Pippen is on this list. I thought it was – I could have sworn it was somebody else, but yes.
It may as well be somebody else because nobody picks – I think one person picks Scottie Pippen.
Yes. I mean, if you think about – you know, we talk about cohesiveness. I'm surprised we didn't get more lists with Michael and Scottie on them. I mean, obviously the greatest 1-2 punch in NBA history, 6 championships together. What more can you say? Yeah, you want to put LeBron there because we salivate at the possibility of Michael and LeBron playing together. But who's to say that would work? You know, that chemistry is a huge thing in the NBA. And Scottie Pippen's a guy – well, I believe LeBron knows how to play a secondary role – he has a tendency to take over games and really impose his will, and that might rub Michael the wrong way in his day.
Well, I think LeBron is kind of the perfect superstar to work with Mike in the sense that, you know, what did he get killed for in game five against the Pacers? No. He got killed for passing the ball. You know, LeBron is the type of player that he's always looking to make the best basketball decision, and sometimes that means being the scorer. Sometimes that means, you know, being a distributor. And I think Michael would appreciate that. But at the same time, LeBron would know, even though I'm probably physically the greatest player the league has ever seen, you know, you got to bow down to the king.
Yes. And yes,
that's,
absolutely.
That's number 23. The real 23.
And we have to look at it. Like, it's so funny looking at all the different scenarios. We're looking at this, if I'm not mistaken, as like – not as if they all existed for you to take, like knowing what you know about them now, but not necessarily, because I think if LeBron of today had a chance to play with Michael in his prime, LeBron of today would have no problem, you know, just, you know, bowing down and facilitating to Michael and being second fiddle. He would have no problem being second fiddle because he pretty much idolized LeBron growing up, or Michael growing up. But that's not what the discussion is. If these two were just fresh off of college and they were equals and they were, you know, Michael was not a mentor of sorts to LeBron or somebody he looked up to, then the discussion changes because we know Michael's personality and we know, I mean, LeBron is a facilitator, but we know that he does have a lot of alpha male in him. So how would that work would it be a Michael Jordan team? Would it be a LeBron James team?
Yeah, see, I went with the, you know, you're looking at these guys in their prime, but that's an interesting question. If these are all guys fresh out of college and everybody's a rookie, I still think it becomes a Michael Jordan team, as every team becomes a Michael Jordan team that he's on, because he has, much like Kobe, but to a greater degree and a less divisive degree, I think Michael has that attitude that, you know, the killer instinct that everybody talks about, that you might not like this man, but you're going to play for this guy and, you know, you're going to follow his lead. And LeBron, he's developed that now, but it took him a while to develop it.
Yes.
And I think it came more naturally with Michael. I think, you know, he had it as a freshman at Carolina. You know, the only person that could stop Mike was Dean Smith. So, yeah, I think if you know, now it'd be interesting if you had a team with Michael and Kobe on it. I know that's not this discussion, but I think Kobe would be more apt to get up and ruffle some feathers if you got Mike and Kobe both coming in, Mike out of college, Kobe out of high school.
They're pretty much the same person.
Right. Yeah.
And it's because Kobe patterned his career after Michael Jordan. Walks, talks, chews gum like him, everything like Michael Jordan.
Cheats on
so
his
you're
wife.
Two Michael Jordan. You don't want that.
So cheats on his wife like him, allegedly.
Well, that's all the NBA. Yeah, you're right about that.
But, that would be an interesting kind of exercise in time travel. Because you can't really have Kobe exist in a world without Michael Jordan. Right. So it'd be like, I don't know, it'd be like having Lenny Kravitz exists in a world that never had Prince or Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
So.
Fair.
Just pull that analogy right out. I tell you how come I came with that analogy, because there's another game like this, but it's with rock stars.
Yeah.
Instead of basketball players. Yeah, that is interesting. Like maybe we'll
guitarist, it's drummer.
Maybe we'll do that. I know it's not a sports thing, but maybe we'll do that for a segment for 1 week.
Yeah, I think if you want to do segment four, we should do a hip-hop group.
Oh, that's a great idea, Big Nasty.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one out there for hip-hop. Maybe we'll have to create one.
No, we should make one. And, like, it's easy for people to say, oh, it's rap. You're just saying words. But, you know, you could have the lyricist. You could have the hook guy. There's so many parts for rap. Exactly. You know, you're the hype man, whatever, you know?
Oh, that's, yeah, maybe we'll have to get together with Mr. Throwback Thursday on this one. Your ultimate rap starting five. You get a front man, you get a hype man, you get a DJ, and
the lyricist. I mean, I guess the front man would be the lyricist.
You get a hook singer. You get like a Nate Dogg. Like you get like Nate Dogg or Drake or somebody could be your hook singer, and you get a female MC. So those are your five spots on your roster.
I like that.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with that. But yeah, that's I don't know how
I person could be a singer. I was going to ask for because you traditionally can get somebody who sings more for, but you could throw that in the hook.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be a DJ, front man, hype man, female MC, and hook singer. That's Drake will be $5. Eminem will be $5, according to Big Nasty.
Of course. Well, I don't know about Drake, but Eminem would be priceless. I probably wouldn't even draft him because I would feel bad about paying money for him because he's priceless.
All right. So that's going to do it for segment two. A great NBA conversation. Looking forward to the finals. And again, we'll have more to talk about once those get underway. But what is coming up, speaking of Drake, just hold on for segment four. Segment four. Coming up next.
I put my headphone on, make a plug-in, and soon Amazon, I'm a groovy. Gotta keep moving, get the groove for life. Rhythm's my window, it's me hope, it's me light. I gotta stay true, y'all, this it is free. I gotta hold on, now, this time is me. And my man Raz G, hey, did the cuckoo rock, set a melody. Hey.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. PlaceToBeNation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best in comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. Want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also our friend Dave at TWFnews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also check out PiledriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great old school wrestling review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at rspwfaq.com. So for everything you need for your pop culture fix, check out placetobenation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/the Kings of Sport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. It's your man, the Godfather, holding things down all by himself. Big Nasty had to leave. I guess he had to get ready for a game one victory party, because apparently that's how they do things out there in La La Land. But that's okay. Never fear. Godfather's still here. We are going to talk about segment four, because I know you wait for that each and every week. But before we get into that, we got to kind of start segment four on a somber note and send out some condolences to the family of one of the most iconic and indelible figures in the world of Major League Baseball, and that is the one and only Don Zimmer, who passed away earlier today at a hospital in Florida. Zimmer was 83, and you know, he's just an iconic figure. People remember him most from his Yankee days, but he was an infielder for many years, a manager, coaches at different levels, you know, 66 years altogether in the major leagues. Just one of the good people in baseball, a baseball man if there ever was one. And like I said, Zimmer died earlier today at the age of 83 from a heart and kidney problems. So, you know, rest in peace, Zim. You will be missed. You were one of the true enduring figures and characters and personalities in the game of baseball. So now that that unpleasantness is out of the way, you know, we can get into segment four. And segment four this week is just going to focus on one person that needs a check. Not a monetary check, not even a hockey check, but a reality check. And that is none other than Justin Bieber. If you have not heard, this has not been a good week for Justin Bieber. On Monday, the pop star had to apologize for a video that surfaced of him telling racially insensitive jokes, including using the N-word. And then today, we got a video of Justin Bieber at the age of 14, I believe, singing a parody version of his hit song, One Less Lonely Girl, and he changed it to the brilliantly clever One Less Lonely Nigga. Yeah, that really happened. So, like we like to do in situations like this, I don't want you to just take my word for it and take my perspective, my take on the situation. I want to let you hear for yourself what Justin Bieber sang 5 or 6 years ago, and you be the judge, and you tell me if maybe I'm being a little too sensitive right here about what this dude is saying. So I'm gonna play this clip for you, and you be the judge.
One less lonely nigga. One less lonely nigga. One less lonely nigga. There's gonna be one less nigga. If I kill you, I'll be part of the KKK. That there'll be one less lonely nigga. There'll gonna be one less lonely nigga.
Really, man? Really, Justin Bieber? Now, I know some of you out there saying, but he was just a kid. He didn't mean to make these foolish statements. He didn't mean to say what he said. And I agree to a point. You know, I've said stupid things in my youth. I said stupid things in my 20s. I still say stupid things today in my 30s. But there are some topics, some things, some issues that you just don't play with. And race is one of them, especially when you are somebody like Justin Bieber. And follow me on this, folks. Justin Bieber's whole thing, from his time he was a little bitty boy, time he was a little bitty Bieber, and then growing up in the snow-filled fields of Canada, he wanted to be a pop singer. He wanted to be like Usher. He wanted to be like Michael Jackson. He wanted to be like those type of singers. So you can approximate, and you can appropriate, and you can steal from these black artists. But you got the nerve to joke about one less lonely nigga. You got the nerve to make jokes about black folks being scared of chainsaws, or what, you know, black folks not being good fathers. You got the nerve to talk all that stuff. But you want to be just like us. You want to be inside of this culture. But you have no appreciation for the people that create the culture. And so, you know, Justin Bieber has come out, and obviously he's apologized. He's on that Donald Sterling tour. And of course, he's issued the obligatory apology. He says, as a young man, I didn't understand the power of certain words and how they can hurt. I thought it was okay to repeat hurtful words and jokes, but didn't realize at the time that it wasn't funny, and that in fact my actions were continuing the ignorance. I take my friendships with people of all cultures very seriously, and I apologize for offending or hurting anyone with my childish and inexcusable mistakes. I was a kid then, and I am a man now who knows my responsibility to the world and to not make that mistake again. Mind you, he said that second part after the release of the first video with the joke. So it would make sense to me if you're Justin Bieber and you know that you got tapes floating around of you being an idiot and saying these types of terminology. Why not just apologize for all of them instead of trying to be like, oh, this was the first time I made this mistake. It was a youthful indiscretion 4 years ago, and I don't know why I did it. I threw myself at the mercy of the court of public opinion. Bieber, please. Bieber, please. But apparently there are people that disagree with me. Athletes that disagree with me. Black folk that disagree with me. One of them is Iron Mike Tyson. Yes, the heavyweight champion, former heavyweight champion of the world, Iron Mike Tyson, has commented and weighed in on this Justin Bieber situation. He said, "We all make mistakes, and I believe Justin Bieber is learning." He said that on Twitter. And Whoopi Goldberg also came out on The View and talked about that Bieber's youth and Canadianness factored into why he thinks it may have been okay to use the word at that time. You got Tyson, you got Whoopi Goldberg, you got Floyd Mayweather, you got Lil Wayne, you got Usher all coming out and supporting this kid and saying that he made an honest mistake. And he very may well could have. But let's take a look at the following years, from 16 to 20, this dude has been a continuous knucklehead, a continuous source of agitation and irritation for those around him. Keyshawn Johnson, what's going on in your community? Man, Justin Bieber trying to run down these kids here in the street. What's going on in the community? Man, he's having a party with Molly and throwing eggs at people's houses and setting up his black homeboy, Little Swisher, or whatever his name was, Little Thug Nut, and Little Thug Nut got to do the crime and go to jail for what Justin Bieber said. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and look this dude's name up so I can properly credit the patsy in Justin Bieber's crew that took the fall for this idiot. Apparently his name is Lil Za. Mama say, mama sa, mamaku sa. Basically, you're the fall guy. That's your name, brother. You're the fall guy for Justin Bieber. So again, my thing is, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody, can have a slip of the tongue. But to me, this is just continuing the case, building the case that this kid is a habitual line stepper. This kid allows those around him to influence him in a negative fashion. If you go back and listen to the tapes, his people, his handlers are all around him, and they're just laughing their heads off at this funny, funny material. First of all, the material is not that funny. I've heard plenty of racist jokes in my time, in my day. And the jokes Justin Bieber told were hacky jokes. They weren't funny at all. But the people around him, they didn't want to stop this gravy train. They didn't want to stop that paper from coming in. So they said, whatever you want, Justin. Let's have a laugh at the expense of the Negroes. And I guess the one person that tried to show him the error of his ways was Usher, who I guess when he caught wind of this, he showed him some tapes of, racial atrocities over the years and racial insensitivity. And Bieber's eyes were open. So hopefully, that'll get this kid on the right track. But it's not a good look for Bieber, and I know we got a lot of Canadian listeners, and I got a lot of Canadian friends, and I for the most part, y'all are pretty cool, man. Y'all are crazy, some of y'all are crazy, but for the most part, y'all are good people. But this guy right here, let's get it together, man. Get it together, Bieber. That's all I got to say. So Maybe you guys out there agree with what I'm saying. Maybe you think I'm way off base. But either way, you can have your say. The Kings of Sport is not a monarchy. It is a democracy where everybody has a voice. And the way that you can get in on this discussion and share your voice is in one of three different ways. You can hit us up on email at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Hit us up on our Facebook page, which is growing by the day, at facebook.com/thekingsofsport. And finally, check us out on Twitter at KozPod on Twitter, KOS_POD. Again, that is KozPod on Twitter. So let me know what you think about this this topic. Am I being a little too hard on the Biebs? Not hard enough. So that's going to do it for this week's show. We hope you guys enjoy all the hockey and all the hoops coming up this weekend. It's going to be great. Again, the Kings and the Rangers should be a great series, as well as the main event, in my opinion, which is the Spurs and the Miami Heat. Remember, as always, you can check out Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham on Twitter at This Is Nasty. Check him out on Bleacher Report. Check out the articles as well as the videos. You can follow Marcus Vanderberg on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will. You can follow me on Twitter at N8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes, Stitchers. Like the show, rate the show, review the show, and if you get a moment, share it with your friends. If you like what we're doing, let other people know about it so they can get in on this. Don't let it be a little bit of secret. Don't hide your light under a bush and let it shine into the world. Don't forget to also check out our partners in crime at Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. Just celebrated their 1-year anniversary as a website, so happy birthday to placetobenation.com. Also a special shout out, happy birthday to my pops, Papa Godfather, the Pop Father, if you will. Just celebrated his birthday, so celebration all around. Good times, good times. So that's going to do it for this week. And you can join us back here next week, same time, same channel, same great topic, same great discussion. And that's how we do it, man. That's how we do it around these parts. So, for Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, for Marcus Down with the LA Kings Vanderberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks.